Welcome to An Epiphany with Tiffany. My name is Tiffany, and I've just had an epiphany. This podcast is all about Christian singles looking for community. Christian dating can be quite a mess these days. I'll share stories from my guests and practical tips for successful love. Dating shouldn't be this hard, right? So grab your favorite snack or drink and curl up with this episode, and you might just have an epiphany of your own. Like,
interesting.
I mean, I have friends that could proofread, you know, I'm all like, I have friends that I would just have proofread and buy you guys coffee or wine or whiskey or something.
Yeah, my friend Ken Vierzy from 824, he had me proofread his.
Oh, really?
His book. It's called Diagnosing the American Church. It's unpublished, but but I will never forget the most impactful words. I've repeated them so many times now. In the first 10 pages were when he was saying that he was extremely critical about the church, you know, very critical. Have I told you this before?
I don't think so.
So he said he used to be super judgy about the church. And I understood a lot of what he was saying, because growing up in the church, you know, you feel like you have the knowledge and expertise to judge other people and their beliefs and whatever, instead of just loving like we're called. And so he said he very clearly heard, as he was lamenting to God, that it's just so hard, and why do people have to be so legalistic? And God said, be careful, that is my bride that you're talking about. And he said he sat back in just so much conviction and humility after that, because he got checked, you know, and in the best way, because we can be so judgy instead of just loving people. But anyway, so I was proofreading his Diagnosing the American Church, and it's very good. It's very good and very interesting. I know you said you wanted to talk about purity culture.
Let's dive into purity culture. Let's go. What was it like for you growing up, where you grew up and all of that?
Okay. So I grew up in a Sovereign Grace Ministries church, the same church that I go to now. Although I left for 10 years, a 10 year gap in between. So I was raised in that church, and Joshua Harris wrote I Kissed Dating Goodbye. And I believe I was probably maybe middle school or early high school when I first heard about it. Like, I remember going to a conference at a church on a Saturday. Don't remember where it was. Didn't even know like anybody there, but my parents heard of this really big book being released. And they were kind of like hyping it up. And so it also happened to be the pastor of our sister church in Maryland. And so I'm like, I don't know. Anyway, I sit through the explanation of what this book is about, and I'm real interested because it's talking about dating and boys, and written from a boy's perspective, talking about girls. And I mean, essentially, it presented information it presented a very good message. A positive message, which is focusing on, instead of the physical stuff and giving parts of yourself emotionally and physically in a way, you know, while doing that hurts you in the future. Like, it just presented a good message of looking at the heart of the matter. So, of course, we don't know what we don't know. And it turned into so much legalism. Because, well, if this book is talking about how everybody in high school with hormones raging and boys only want one thing, and this author is saying, don't take advantage of people physically, don't give yourself away physically. He was coming from a good place, but it was taken just completely to extremes. And so as I started, you know, as I was in high school, I started to see the people that were a few years older and old enough to court, there was the first couple that courted under I Kissed Dating Goodbye and then Say Hello to Courtship, the following book that came out.
Right.
And in the middle of that, there was just so much misunderstanding of people not knowing, like, we're talking about the heart of the matter. We're not saying don't kiss until you're married.
Right.
That's just what Josh and his wife chose to do, you know, but it's hard because we don't know what we don't know. And so I saw so much legalism where there were literally couples, engaged couples in my singles group, where one of the couples posted a really cute picture of him kissing her on the cheek, and they had just gotten engaged, and so holding out her ring. And then the next couple posted or one was just a picture of him holding hands, and then one was kissing on the cheek. And then the third couple posted a picture actually kissing, because it was almost like oh, you can't do this. Well, we're going to do it anyway, because it's okay. But it's like a competition.
Yeah.
And how legalistic can you be? How pure can you be? We didn't kiss until our marriage day. You know, and so many couples, regardless of whether they dated or courted or didn't kiss until they were married, like, have ended in divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And it has nothing to do with like how it started, but it does have a lot to do with, you know, the way that the purity culture influenced legalism and shamed people that had a history with, you know, with sex, or, I mean, even kissing was demonized. Mm-hmm. And if you chose to do it, you were looked down on. And so I just remember it being like, how good can you be?
Mm.
How good can you be? How little can you touch to be the best? Like, to win. And so much shame that was brought upon because of that mentality. So like a couple that said they were not going to hold hands until they were engaged and kiss until they were married.
Right.
There was that couple. And it came out years later that they kissed before they were married.
Mm.
And so it became about for the show, and whether the parents knew, I don't know. But to be preached from the pulpit that it was their first kiss, the idea of doing away with that was so much so that they'd rather lie to the congregation.
Mm.
And the legalism that brought things like that on is what instituted a lot of the guilt and the shame that I've experienced personally, but I know a lot of other people have too. And I left the church for 10 years. And for me, it was different, than the purity culture issue. But I left the church because all of my friends got married and I was one of the only ones left. And at that point, high school seniors are coming in, and at 25, you feel old.
Right.
And so the ideas and the legalism that were brought upon by purity culture made it seem like a woman was not enough on her own. Mm. It made it seem like marriage was the end goal. It made it seem like purity was the end goal.
Mm-hmm.
And finding your person, just getting someone, you know, by the girl, I think the phraseology was like cracking twigs and rustling leaves or whatever, right? Not flirting.
Yeah.
But making your presence known, but not flirting. That's too much.
Mm-hmm.
And so I lost my train of thought, but like it made all of these things made people feel like they were not enough if they were not married by the time they were in their early 20s. And especially if they're past that, you know, like these things, like marrying the wrong person because you don't want to be single, or marrying the wrong person, even if he's, I mean, like marrying someone because he's interested, even if he's not godly, even if he doesn't treat you well and show the fruits of the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Those are not good enough reasons to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And people, there's been so much hurt, and I've experienced it, you know, in my through my friendships and vicariously through them, but personally as well, the shame that I felt for not being married by a certain time, that now I've gained freedom from, you know, but the idea, your mindset is your reality. And when I was influenced by purity culture and by parents who didn't know what they didn't know, you know, and they just tried to do the best they knew at the time. And there was a very, very poisonous culture of legalism and over-spiritualizing. Things are not moral issues. Like if you kiss before you're married, and if you kiss at your alt, like what, these are not sin issues.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to decide these things for yourself and be Holy Spirit centered. Mm-hmm. And
next.
So I think the culture, like the whole purity culture, the way that I grew up, it helped. I mean, it really led to a lot of the shame that I experienced when I left the church in my mid-20s, and I left for 10 years. And mm-hmm. then because I was in the world and, you know, drinking on the weekends or smoking with friends or whatever, like I knew the truth and I left the truth. How dare I?
Mm.
That shame started years and years and years prior with things like purity culture and things like legalism, mm-hmm. You know, and it's not all tied to purity culture, but it was a good thing turned very, very bad. And it's really sad because it was a good thing. It was a good message saying, look at the heart of the matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's the heart of the matter that counts. So boys, don't be trying to just kiss girls and see how far you can get.
Yeah.
That's the culture. You know, that was the culture at the time. Well, that wasn't the culture where I was raised, like the church. I was homeschooled. I was in the church. We were doing that. Like,
yeah.
Guys, we're not doing that. So what does that mean for us? That means over, like, doing it to the point where, like, the whole side hug thing became a thing because, oh my gosh, do not wear crossbody, you know, purses because it accentuates your boobs. And like, don't ever give a guy a front hug. So then the awkward side hug that then everybody laughs at, right, as you do it, like, side hug. It makes it even more awkward. And so it just creates this whole like issue of something that doesn't have to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So boys, you're not treating girls in this way that's portrayed in the book. Like, okay. So then this would need to be approached differently, obviously.
Right.
You know, but we just didn't know what we didn't know. And so in a homeschool church culture, the boys aren't doing that. Trying to kiss the girls and like yeah. and in a school, you know, it was primarily homeschoolers. And so like parents would get called because this guy and this girl were standing too close together during one of the like singles events. Like it just becomes so over the top.
Yeah.
Because you're trying so hard to puzzle piece that into the situation and mm-hmm. it doesn't. So let's just like make it fit. Okay, how do you make this more pure? Okay, well, there wasn't a purity issue in the first place here. Like,
yeah.
Boys aren't treating women like pieces of meat and whatever. So what does this look like here? How do we address the issue of the heart that matters? And, you know, it's where the heart lies. And like, how do we address that? Because it's going to be different in this situation as it is than it is in like a public school situation you talk to.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think, yeah, purity culture influenced a lot and it created a lot of damage, but it was us that created the damage. Yeah. It came from a good place.
Yeah. Yeah. Growing up, you know, I was in public school and then homeschooled. So I learned more like in the public school system about all those things than I did at church. So, you know, like going into church and being told, oh, you can no longer hug your guy friends or you can no longer do these things, you know, or whatever, because they're not pure. And as a physical touch person, all of a sudden having that cut off, right? Or the awkward side hug, like that just made me feel so weird and unloved. Like, let's be honest. Okay.
Yes.
And that was
and
more...
everyone watching while you do it to make sure it's appropriately right. Side huggy.
Yeah, and save room for Jesus. Like, I joke about that now.
Yeah, save okay. room for the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He's right there. He never left.
He's never,
He's not moving.
He's not moving.
Don't say things like that.
Thank you. And it's just like, I joke about
not
it
helpful.
Now. Yeah, I know. I joke about it now because I have to laugh.
Same.
You know, otherwise I'd cry.
Same, yes.
Because it's just like, what?
I'm just like, it's so not helpful.
No, and I feel like we should have learned what those boundaries actually were and how to have them in a healthy way instead of it just being like, oh, you can't do this, can't do that, can't do this. Like, okay.
Exactly. Like,
but then
that's where what all the focus was, what you can and can't do. Okay, yeah. So is this okay?
Yeah.
Like, that shouldn't be the question. Is this okay? Well, okay, you should be able to answer it yourself
mm-hmm.
if you were given the tools. But no, it was just, don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll make sure not to do that.
Okay, but what about this? Like,
okay, but what about this? Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like these different...
Not helpful!
These different lines of things, and it's just like, we should have done this better, like, or it could have been done better. And I think about it now, and I think that that's one of the many reasons that so many millennials are still single. And it's like, we didn't learn back then when we should have learned how to function within these things. And so I was just talking to one of the ladies earlier, and we went on a little bit of a rant about living in the spirit of fear and how unhelpful that is. And how, you know, like, Satan was able to use not only purity culture, but many other things that happened in our millennial generation, right? To do what? To kill marriages before they even started. And when you think about it from that point of view, I don't know about you, but it makes me angry, because then I'm just like, well, what are we doing as the church? And how are we fixing this?
How are we fixing this?
Yeah. How are we fixing this? Because are we going to continue to let him rule? Hell no. Yeah. Because he has already lost. Yeah, exactly. It is our choice.
Are we going to let him or not? Like,
yeah.
Quit mm-hmm. letting him. Let's not allow him.
Yeah, because the only way we can do it, one of the ways we can do it is do it together. And so how do it together? You find somebody who has the same calling as you, and matches with you, and you get married.
Exactly.
Then you kick some ass. Okay. Like, that's just what it needs to be. Instead of it being so focused on the, well, what if I mess up? Like, what if I pick the wrong person? Or, you know, this person doesn't meet all of my non-negotiables, so it can't work. Or, you know what I mean? It's just like, exactly. What? No.
You know, the biggest lesson that I've learned, and, you know, the questionnaire that I filled out, I went through and looked at it like a good student.
Thank you.
It's just my OCD. I'm like, I need to know so I'm not blindsided, because I need to prepare answers. Yeah. Or at least have an idea of what I'm going to talk about.
Yeah.
I didn't have an idea of purity culture, so that's why it came out like it did. I have no idea how it came out.
But no, you're good.
I was not prepared. I had not planned it like I would have, thinking more about it now. But in my questionnaire that I filled out, saying yes to God is the biggest lesson that I have learned, because I was someone that would always said, I'd never want to start my own business. I don't want to date someone shorter than me. I'm not going to do long distance. I need proximity. Like, I had all these ideas in my head, these staunch ideas, including the idea of marriage and not wanting to consider, what if I didn't get married? And I had, like, my fist over it, and God, over the last 3 years, has, like, peeled one finger after another off of what I previously would have said. No, I'm not clinging to it. It's what God wants. No, it definitely was not what God wanted. The ideas of my future were so tightly held in my fist, and I wouldn't have said that. In fact, quite honestly, I don't think that I thought I was holding on so tightly.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back, a very quick indicator of my heart would have been the fact that I, like, would melt down if I was faced with the idea of, what if I never get married? Right? Like, downward spiral.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what I didn't know. And now I want what God wants more than what I want. And so in the questionnaire, I remember saying this multiple times, like, would you blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I want what God wants. So I dated this guy. The first healthy relationship I've ever had. I feel like I healed last October in a way that I was not ready for a relationship before, because I wanted a relationship more than I wanted God.
Mm-hmm.
And in October, I healed in a way that, like, I let everything go. And I also was released from the chains of bitterness, envy, and jealousy. Like, I lived my life under those chains, and I was jealous of what other people had that I didn't have, especially if it was along the lines of what I longed for. But in general, you're rich, I'm jealous, you know, like,
yeah.
But you have a, you know, well-to-do husband who's amazing too, and your 2.5 kids and a white picket fence, like, oh, that's a real trigger. So now, after October, I feel like I healed in that way, where I literally let it go, and I received peace and happiness in a way that has not left me since. Mm. And it's coming up on a year now, next October 20th. Mm-hmm. October 20th of 2022, I had the worst anxiety attack of my life. My mom had to pick me up in a Jack in the Box parking lot. Like, I couldn't even make it to urgent care. It was so embarrassing. I never let her see me in that state. But my parents were the only ones that I had never let see me in that state. Mm-hmm. And it was a healing moment. And in the quiet, numb aftermath on my couch, feeling like, I've been doing so freaking well for 2 years. You've been healing from your narcissistic ex and like doing great. And like, there you go again. Well, yeah. Like, and then I realized, like, why are you thinking? Why are you beating yourself down? What if Laura was sitting next to you, your best friend? Would you be telling her what you're telling yourself? Like, there you go again. Come on. Come on. Like, it's not that hard to life. We're adults. Why do you feel this way? I shot up off the couch, right about here. And I was like, oh, I wouldn't tell her that. Why not? Because that's not true. She is amazing. She's not good for nothing. Like, then why are you telling yourself that? Actually, I don't know now. Like, I had this epiphany where God met me in a way where I relinquished all of the hold that I had on marriage and the idea of what my life should look like and how it should not look. And I let it go. And then I met a guy in November, slid into my DMs, intentional. Like, everything was perfect. I thought he was the one. He thought I was the one. He wasn't the one. It was, now I know, it was simply a glimpse that good men are out there and quality is still out there. I know that now, because even in the way it ended, like, it's kind of dramatic, but it's not dramatic. Like, it's not even a big deal. Like, we just weren't right for each other. And I was able to see that because for the first time, I was already whole coming in. Mm. And as of October, that day, I realized, oh, I would have, like, I had no business ever being in a relationship before now. Now I get it when someone says, if you're not happy single, you won't be happy in a relationship. And I'm like, ugh. Now I'm like, oh, I get it. Cause like, I'm totally happy and nothing's changed.
Yeah.
I'm still single as a Pringle. Like it's not about that. And so now I see things very differently than I did even 1 year ago, because I hadn't hit that moment yet of being enough as I am a redeemed child of the Most High King, and I am enough just as I am. I am enough. My past does not define me. My future is not affected by it more than I let my future be affected by my past. It does not have to be. I had to change my mindset to preach truth to myself. Is that a lie or is it truth? She's mad at you? Well, do you know she's mad at you? Well, no, because, well, do you know though? Okay, you don't? Go find out. Oh, you don't want to go find out? Okay, then why are you going to let yourself believe it? Let it go.
Right.
That's it. The cashier was mean to you? What if her dad just died? And you're the first person she saw and she has to be at work because her work won't let her off? What if that's the case? It's not about you. Is it truth? If you don't know, then do the thing to prove it. If you don't want to do the work to prove it because it's embarrassing or you know you're just being stupid, then that reveals to you, then you need to let it go.
Yeah.
Are you willing to do the work to prove it? Because you will. You will start to see a shift in what you do and what you would have said is important. But all of a sudden, it's not quite as important because you're like, no, I'm not going to go talk to and ask this question because you know it wasn't truth. Why would you let yourself believe it then? And so I've changed my life in a way that I really want to help people understand, like, you are enough. And if you don't come in whole to a relationship, why would someone else choose you if you don't even know what you have to offer? You need to be secure in that. And if you're not secure, if you're not even choosing you, why would you expect someone else to choose you? And so if you don't know what you have to offer, why do you think you know what you want? And so when you are 100% aligned with knowing exactly who you are, and that implicates, you know, there's a lot of factors that implicated in that, because you have to know where you're going to know who you are, and you have to know what you love to do what you love, and it's a steamroll process. But If you don't know, you can. And if you don't feel good enough, but you know that you are because scripture tells you you are, preach truth to yourself. Mm-hmm. And I didn't. I believed the lies. I lived based on the lies. And now I realize lies are of the enemy. They are from Satan. They are from the pit of hell. And they have no place in the kingdom. Mm. Don't let yourself believe you are not enough. You know, I want people to understand that what I never understood until October 20th of 2022, which is I am enough. And I've built a life that I am proud of because I've said yes to God more than no to God. Mm. And that brought me a long distance relationship, which was a beautiful glimpse of what I already have here, what I already have with God. I already have a marriage. I don't need an earthly representation of it anymore. I long and yearn for it. And I yearn for a family and kids. But if that's not what God has for me, I'm okay because mm-hmm. I have him already. That's all I need. And I cling to him more than I do to the idea of anything. So if a guy comes along, would you date a guy shorter? Sure. Would you date a guy who like doesn't have a job? Sure. If it's what God wants, and I will know that because I'm Holy Spirit sensitive and I pray over it and I seek counsel over it. You know, like before it was puzzle piecing things to fit like, okay, before you meet my parents, let's talk real quick.
Yeah.
It's in front of them. My family doesn't drink, like, right? And now with this past guy, I was like, I'm not prepping anything. He went to like lunch with my mom by themselves. Randomly it happened. And I was like, that's what I want.
Yeah.
That's what I want because I don't want anything but what God wants. And I know my parents and their wisdom is something I ran from when I didn't want that. I wanted what Krista wanted, which was hot boy, probably not pursuing Jesus and unzip the Christian suit. Like, right? Yeah. Saying you're Christian on an app is not the same as having on fire for God in your profile.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm on fire for the kingdom now, that's all I want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I feel like I talked way too long.
No, that was amazing. I was over here.
Oh my gosh, thank you. Okay, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm embarrassed now.
No. I was trying not to be like hallelujah amen, the whole time. Yeah, yeah, just like hallelujah. We're going to church, y'all.
I love how I quote Lady Gaga.
Yes,
and then you say hallelujah, and I'm like, I could have gone the church route.
Yeah, you know, it's fine. I was mostly referencing the other things you said, but yeah.
Thank you. I feel like I talked way too much, but now I feel all like vulnerable.
You're fine. You're in a safe space with another INFJ, so you're good.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah, no, there are so many points where I'm like, ooh.
Have you experienced this too? This feeling of like freedom being single?
Mm-hmm.
Like I am okay.
Yeah. And it's taken a long time.
I don't want it anymore. Trust me. I have plans.
Yeah, I have plans. Well, so I'm in this. I've shared this with other people, so I don't think I shared it with you yet, but maybe. I don't know. We're going to have a little chat about me.
Tell me.
So I'm in this place where, okay, so my word of the year is faith. And so I've literally been trying to live that out all year long. And God has, of course, brought different scenarios into my life to be like, how much faith are you going to have? And it's been interesting. So, you know.
Oh, I know it.
A lot of anxiety, but also not at the same time.
He's like, really? You know? And I'm like, well, that's all.
Yeah. So
maybe not as much faith as I thought.
Okay, I'm trying.
I'm here.
You know, so there's been a lot of things. There's been some that I've followed through on and some that I said, no. Mm-hmm. You know, but of course, that's going to come back around at some point. So it's fine. But I got to this point. I feel like it was mid-January, maybe. Maybe it was February. I just had this like moment of like, why are you not living? You know, I mean, take COVID out of the situation, right? Because we're just going to not count the last 2.5 years.
Yeah, they did not exist.
They did not exist.
I don't know what happened during 2020. Like I was dating my ex.
Oh, well, okay.
I don't remember.
Yeah. Anyway, so if you
probably
take
good thing.
Yes, if you take out the whole like 2020 situation and just ignore that. Before that, you know, I had a little while where I just was like, oh, I'm doing these things, but I'm also like not living life to the fullest. And, you know, because I was wrapped up in, okay, I don't have money for that, or you know, I don't fit in here because I'm not married, and like I can't do this because I'm not a mom, like, you know, just all this bull crap. And
yes. that we tell ourselves
or other people tell us and we believe. And you know, so I was in this mindset, but also at the same time was trying to finish my master's. I literally finished it in December of 2020. So that year was hell for more than one reason.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So that was a lot. You know, and so then it took going through some of the stuff that I went through in 2021 and, you know, me really being in this state of, did I just waste the last 3 years of my life getting my master's because this is not what I want? What am I doing? Social work.
Okay.
Yeah. I knew this is not it, that this is not where I need to be. Like that career path was just not my path. And so I went through this little bit of a crisis.
Oh, hard.
Yeah. Went through a little bit of a crisis of, okay, well, God, what do you want me to do? Like, what am I doing then? And I just spent all this money, all this time, lots of tears.
I hate wasting time. I'm sure you do too.
Yeah. So bad. So brutal. All these things, right? So what was the point of it, you know? And so I started praying. Some different things were coming up and whatnot. And I had this like nugget of, okay, you know, this is a possibility. If I get this, not only would it kind of fulfill like me, right? But also would be something that I can do for the future in the sense that I can still have it and still be a mom, like the career path, air quoting. Yes. It, right? And yeah. So you know, and then it took just over a year and I finally met my boss. You know, and then I've been working this job for almost 2 years now, or no, a year and a half. Sorry. Yeah. Year and a half. I am an education specialist / academic coordinator for a private school, and we are home based, which means that our kids are technically homeschooled, but they are under the protection of our school. Which means the
government. Oh, I love that.
The government is not involved at all.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, I have to tell my mom this story later.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because she always worried about one day.
Uh-huh.
I graduated before that was an issue, but she's like, one day I won't be able to teach you because I don't have a degree. Like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, tell me more. I love that.
Yeah. And so it's really cool. Like, we believe in parents' choice. That's actually our school's tagline. And we value parents' choice, technically, is the school's tagline. And, you know, so they get to pick the curriculum and they get to teach what they want to teach, or they get to pick which program they want to be in, which we have one program that's 100% biblically based. And so you get all of that goodness in the education. And then we have one that's independent study, which basically is just like a cookie cutter thing where, you know, you can pick from like a Becca, or if you want that. Yeah. You know, I threw that out there because I figured you probably did.
yeah. My brother did a different one.
Oh, okay.
It was like pamphlets. Like,
was it like the Paces?
Alpha and Omega, but it was another one like Alpha and Omega.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of writing because he needed help with writing.
Yeah. So yeah, you get to pick, they get to pick more, and then like, or they could use like, a biblically based science, but they don't have to use a biblically based English. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they basically get to just pick, okay, these are the things I want to throw together for my kid. And then like in our traditional homeschool program, it's really all up to them. And we just kind of help guide them along. And then we keep like all the records and stuff. With the other two programs, their curriculum is included in the price that they pay. And then we buy it and ship it to their house. And so then after that, they just ship it back and that's it. Like, they don't have to worry about, you know, all the other things. They don't have to worry about picking the curriculum themselves, which is what they do with the homeschool side of things. And though that's more set up for parents who actually want to do the teaching versus parents who maybe aren't comfortable teaching. So they pick a different curriculum with the other two.
Yeah. Like the videos, you know, like the videos with Becca.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So
my mom like handpicked our stuff, like, cause she taught it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of how, that's what it is. And then, so right now it's just me and my boss and we have like 20 something students. And it's, it's awesome. It's our goal to be national eventually, Lord willing. And
what's it called? I have to look it up.
Promises School K through 12. Okay. If you Google it, you should be able to find it.
Yeah, I'll Google it. My mom would be so happy to hear that this kind of thing exists.
Yeah.
At one point, back when I was in middle school, I remember her saying, like, I wouldn't be able to teach you one day if the government wants to take control of school systems. And this is private school, but this is not accredited private school the way that the state might make it be. So my mom, she's so happy to hear this. Like, promises, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's actually called Promises because I can't remember the verse right now, but it's talking about how God keeps his promises. So, yeah.
I love that.
So that's what I do, which is really freaking awesome because now I literally can be a stay-at-home mom because I am currently a stay-at-home worker.
Right. Yeah, you know.
I work from home. And I could easily, it's our goal. Cause like my boss is a mom of three and, you know, and she knows that I have the desire to get married and have kids. And we've already discussed it. Like we have already planned out. We just need to get to that point of what my responsibilities will be once I'm married with children. And, you know, cause we had a frank conversation. I was like, look,
love that. Like this, future planning and just,
yeah. I'm like, you know. I want to be a mom. But I am also hoping and praying that my husband is cool with me keeping this job because I feel like this is also a ministry. And because we don't just take believers. Like we will take anybody. And
yeah, if you want to homeschool, that means you want a better education for your kid.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if you are a believer or not.
For ministry. Like,
yeah. It's awesome. I freaking love it. I've already had some really cool conversations with some of our parents that aren't believers. And you know, so it's just like, okay, God, like you open whatever door you want to open and I'm going to walk through it. But like
we'll have to talk at some point about it later because I would love to help promote like what you're doing. Definitely.
We're going to have to talk about that because I really want Texas to be open next.
You want what?
Texas to be open next. So we currently.
What do you mean when you say that?
Okay, so we currently have California and currently have Montana open for enrollment. Meaning you can be anywhere in the state of California and or anywhere in the state of Montana and be enrolled in our school.
Okay. So you need to get Texas. Like,
yes. That's what I mean.
Okay. I'll help advocate for Texas.
Yes.
I know tons of homeschoolers too.
Yeah.
That will totally be a part of you guys.
Yeah. So that's like, because Texas is high on my list.
Yeah.
I
love that. I mean, we're the biggest red state in the nation. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Before it turns blue.
Heck yeah, exactly.
Gosh.
That's another rant.
I know. Well, El Paso is blue. Like, we're the biggest blue state. No, city in the largest red state. Like,
yes.
We're an outlier here for sure. And so everyone's Democrat here.
Yeah.
I mean, not me.
You're not. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
We could totally do some stuff together. I love that.
Yeah. We'll chat.
A lot of times when I say homeschool, people just don't know what that entails. Like, they don't know anything about homeschooling or they're like, did you like get to stay up like or wake up late and do school in your pajamas? And I'm just like,
no, I did not. No. Anyway.
It's nice that you're familiar with it.
Yeah. I love it, though. So that's one of the doors I want to walk through. And I'm just waiting for God to be like, okay, cool. Here's the rest of the stuff you need, you know? But also along that is finding a guy that fits in with that. You totally. Know?
Right. Like within you, once you know your calling, you're like,
yep.
I can't just settle for any guy.
Exactly.
Nope. Like he has to be on fire for the kingdom. Mm-hmm. He has to want kids, not just like, yeah, sure. No, like
no, you need
you're,
to have,
you're
you
going
to
raise
kids.
This family along with me.
Yeah.
This is
a
give and take, honey. Like,
yep. That. And then it's like, because there's no, you know, we kind of touched on non-negotiables sort of, we didn't use that word, but like non-negotiable things like, homeschooling is a must. This was fun.
Yes.
All right. Well, I will talk to you soon, girl.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the stories and the perspectives that were shared in this episode. Please share it with a friend whose dating life might need some help. Wink, wink.
If you want to connect with me on social media, you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at An Epiph with Tiff. I really hope to see you there. There are multiple ways that you can support my show. You can pray for me, rate, review, and share any episode that you love. Or you can even financially contribute by going to patreon.com/anepiphanywithtiffany. Until next time, I'm Tiffany, and I hope you just had an epiphany.